So this is something we always look forward to, is the festival of Sri Jagannath Rath Yatra. And something that Srila Prabhupada revolutionized the world by this. The tradition is that the actual ceremony never goes outside of Jagannath Puri, and it's held once a year, usually in the month of July. But Prabhupada did something really phenomenal. And he did it for many reasons. The main reason was to spread the glories of Lord Jagannath everywhere. Why keep it in one area of the world? People were just hearing about Jagannath Rath Yatra and not knowing so much about it. But when Prabhupada made it a regular affair, specifically in the USA, where for more than 2.5 to 3 months every weekend there was a Rath Yatra festival somewhere. And the reason why, one of the reasons he did it, aside from glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he knew there were many, many people who would never come to the Hare Krishna temples. And that's just the way life is in the material world. So in order to give these people a chance to advance in spiritual life, he presented this festival in public in a very grand way, in order for people to see the Supreme Personality of God. And it says, even if they see the Lord, and if they don't even attend the festival, or even if they're on the side just watching, guaranteed a human birth. Powerful, huh? This is the mercy of Sri Jagannath Dev. And Prabhupada made sure that it was done in the most exemplary way, with great festivals and beautiful carts. In Jagannath Puri, this is a regular festival, and it's a very deep and very esoteric, traditional, spiritual meaning to this particular festival. It goes deep into the essence of our Krishna consciousness, Siddhanta, and that is Vipralamba Bhava, the mood of separation from Krishna, is what the festival is really all about. And that is that we worship the Lord in the mood of devotion in two ways, in the mood of separation and the mood of meeting the Lord. But primarily, and very, not only primarily, but in the majority, the mood of separation is the mood of our essence of our expression of devotional life. And what is that mood? That mood is hankering after this, the association for the Lord, by performing acts of devotion to attract the Lord's attention and his association by our bhakti. But in this, you see something that is just like practically the reverse. And that is that when Krishna was about 10 years old, 10 and a half, I think, he left Sri Vrindavan Dham. It was a nice arrangement. Krishna wanted that arrangement to happen. Kamsa was thinking, you know, he was sending so many demons to Sri Vrindavan Dham to kill Krishna, because he knew the prophecy that this personality was destined to kill him. And being very fearful, he did whatever he could to try to, you know, destroy Krishna. And so Kamsa had conquered so many other demons and made them his servants. And so he's petitioning them, forcing them to go and do the service of trying to kill Krishna. So one after another, they were coming to Vrindavan. Actually, it says that there was average 2 demons per day, every day. And one in the morning and one in the afternoon. It was scheduled. And one of the other reasons, I don't know if this really fits in, because it always, Purnamasi, who controls Sri Vrindavan Dham, she is Yogamaya personified. She always made sure that when Krishna got tired of playing, then the demons would come. And then he would kill a demon, then he would be hungry and he'd go home for lunch because his mother could never get him to come home and eat. He would always want to play. So this was also part of getting him to eat. So it was also scheduled. So Kamsa was like frustrated, and every time he was thinking, this demon will do it. And then he got the news that this demon was, you know, dispatched to the boat of Yamaraj really quickly and easily by Krishna. I mean, that's not a fair fight. I mean, Krishna's God. You want to try to fight with God, you lose, you know. It doesn't matter who you are. But sometimes people criticize, you know, why does God take part in affairs in this world? Because, you know, there's no competition. But he does that in order to please his devotees and to protect his devotees. Pravitranayam sarunam vinashanaya chaduskritam dharma samstarpanartaya sambhuvami yuge yuge. So he comes specifically to give this protection to his devotees and to enliven them also. Because this world is full of demons. Haribo. 1972, Prabhupada made a very powerful lecture. He says, the demons will increase. This was in 72. He said, it'll increase and increase and increase. And the devotees will be put into difficulties. But he said, don't worry, Krishna will protect you. As he protects the residents of Vrindavan, he always protects them. And then he said, but you have to take shelter of Krishna. And that is a requirement for get his protection. And that's the reason why, because Krishna wants you to become more Krishna conscious. And so he always give protection. So this is the world of demons. And it's actually increasing even more. And Prabhupada said they wear a nice suit and tie nowadays and you can't tell the difference. They hide behind all kinds of political, social, economical, and medical programs. So that's the demons. But now Krishna is incarnated in the sound of his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So that's the protection in this age. Full protection. It's foolproof. It fully takes shelter of Krishna's holy name. The material energy cannot touch you. That's Krishna's promise. He promised that. He promised. And that assurity gives the devotees the enthusiasm to go on with their Krishna consciousness without any fear. But you'll see, the Kamsa tried to create so much fear in the hearts and minds of the Yadavas when he was present. And he was able to do that to some degree, but everyone took shelter of Krishna. So now all these demons are being destroyed by Krishna, one after another. So Kamsa has a plan now. And what is his plan? He wants to bring Krishna to Mathura and have him meet very powerful opponents. And he had this powerful elephant, Kulyavadiapida, really powerful elephant. If that didn't work, he was going to have the wrestlers. There was one other thing. There was some mystic powers. He had this whole program of going to kill Krishna. And if one didn't work, he put three in place. And so he sent to Krura. And Krura came. And then Krura stole Krishna from Vrindavan. He had to suffer later for doing that. He did his service. Krishna wanted to go. And he did his service nicely, but he had to suffer because the gopis weren't happy. This is interesting. You'll see the intrigue later in another pastime where he was implicated in something that he really didn't. He was involved, but not directly. And because he offended the gopis. Why did he offend the gopis? Krishna wanted to go. And so Krishna was using Akrura as a means for being taken out of Vrindavan. But you know what he forgot to do? He forgot to pacify the gopis before he took them. Because he didn't say, well, I'm sorry, but this is what I got to do. He ignored the gopis. And they cursed him. You rascal. You're taking our life. And that's the whole thing. Now, and Krishna went to, of course, Mathura, and he killed Kamsa very easily. He killed the wrestlers, killed the elephants, he killed I can't remember the other pastime. And he killed Kamsa. Krishna was really angry at Kamsa. Oh, boy. Because Kamsa had caused so much distress to the devotees. And he had imprisoned his mother and father in jail and harassed them so much. When Krishna used to kill the demons, he would it was fun, He just, whatever he did, he just kind of beat him up a little bit. But for Kamsa, Krishna was really angry at Kamsa. He just beat him to, he was like nothing left of him. Krishna was really angry because he had really offended the devotees in a very powerful way. And so now the mood of separation from Krishna was there. For many decades, Krishna was gone. And the Yadavas needed protection. Because after Krishna killed Kamsa, all of Kamsa's allies were now attacking Mathura. Jarasandha and Kaliyavana and Shishupal, all that came last. So Krishna had to stay away from Vrindavan in order to protect his devotees. But the devotees were in Vrindavan, were feeling the separation from the Lord. And this went on and on. And they were always praying for Krishna to come back to Vrindavan. But Krishna said, I'm going to come back. When he left, he actually gave that promise, I'll be back. And every day, Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj and many of the gopis, they would go to the edge of Vrindavan looking to see if Krishna was coming. And every day, it was the same disappointment. They would turn around with tremendous amount of emotional disappointment. Krishna's not here. And this went on for decades. Their hearts were just burning in separation. And of course, Krishna then sent Uddhava to pacify the gopis, and that worked for a little while, but then they wanted Krishna. They wanted Krishna. So this mood of separation was intense, and Krishna was also wanting to go back to Vrindavan to be with his devotees, because for Krishna, there was nothing like the residence of Vrindavan. Their love for Krishna was perfect. I don't know how you could describe perfect in this sense, but no one could exceed that love. It was pure. There's one particular story to illustrate just the nature of that love, where Krishna has a headache, and Narada Muni happens to be with Krishna, and Narada says, Krishna, you don't look too well. Yeah, I have a headache. Oh, really? Well, what can we do? Well, there is a remedy. And I need the dust from the lotus feet of my devotees. If I place it on my head, then my headache is gone. Narada's thinking, how is that possible? Who's going to put their foot dust on your head? But Krishna said, see, we could find someone. So he went to the sages of Dandakaranya forest, and they greeted Narada. Oh, Narada, how have you been? It's a nice, cordial exchange. Have you seen Krishna lately? Yes. How is he? Well, he has a headache. Oh, really? Could we do anything? He said, well, yes. That's actually why I've come. He would like the dust of your feet, and he says, this is the solution to his headache. Narada, come on. We'll go to hell. Put our foot dust on Krishna's, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, on his head? We'll be in hell. Narada, don't ask again. So Narada could understand, and he went through a few other of Krishna's associates, and he was a complete failure. And then he went back to Krishna. I can't find anyone. Krishna said, go to Vrindavan and ask the gopis. So he went. After some time, he comes in contact with some of the principal gopis, and they're there, and they're asking, oh, Narada, have you seen Krishna? Yeah. Oh, really? How he's got it? Oh, really? He's got a head? Oh, what can we do? Well, there is a solution. What's that? Well, he had his headache can be cured if you give me your foot dust and we'll place it on his head. Really? Okay. So they took their bangles off and started scraping the bottom of their feet and took it all, and they made big piles of, here, Narada, take it, run to Krishna. He's got a headache. Don't let him suffer. Hurry up. And Narada says, do you know you can go to hell for this? We don't care. We'll stay in hell eternally if Krishna's headache is relieved. Narada could understand there's no bhakti like that. And they weren't just feeling like that. They were actually, anything to do to please Krishna, they would do it. It didn't matter. That was their love. It was completely pure. That's why you can't understand the love of the gopis. It's not possible. Especially Radharani. So Krishna, that kind of love really attracts Krishna in a very powerful way. So Krishna was killing one demon after another. It was Jarasandha, Kaliyavana, Shishupal, and then there was who else? There was Dantravarga. And then there were so many other demons also. And then there was kind of other things he had to take care of, and then he set up the Dwarka fort in order to protect the Yadavas from all of these armies. There was a lot of demons on the world because, you know, Pravitranayam, Sadhunayam, that's why Krishna came. But his heart was in Vrindavan, and the heart of the devotees from Vrindavan were with Krishna. So they were together in this mood of loving separation. But each wanted the association of the other. So Krishna was always thinking, I have to get my job done here. He couldn't neglect that, because if he did, all of his devotees, the Yadavas, which were millions and millions of his family members, would be attacked by these powerful demoniac armies. So Krishna stayed along with Balaram, and he was killing one demon after another. And finally, it was understood that, you know, most of the major demons were killed. Because when he was fighting with Jarasandha, what Krishna did, Jarasandha had these powerful armies. So Jarasandha would attack Krishna, because Jarasandha got angry at Krishna. Why? Because Krishna killed Kamsa. And Jarasandha's two daughters, Prasuti and Asuti, they were married to Kamsa. And now their husband was killed, so they went back to their father and stayed with Jarasandha. And they were complaining, you know, now we don't have a husband. And Jarasandha was angry. So he decided to attack the Yadavas. So Krishna, he made the Yadavas his enemy, and Jarasandha was powerful. He was really powerful. His armies could really cause havoc with the Yadava armies. So Krishna decided, well, I have to get rid of, you know, these armies. So he confronted Jarasandha in a battle, him and Balaram. It's, you, when you read that, it's just really exciting. But what Krishna did, he didn't kill Jarasandha. He allowed Jarasandha to amass these great armies. And then when Jarasandha would attack, him and Balaram would decimate the entire army and leave Jarasandha. They wouldn't kill Jarasandha. The idea was that he would go back and get another army, and then he'd come again. And the idea was to get rid of all these demoniac armies. So that was Krishna's plan. 17 times he killed millions and millions of soldiers. Each time he left Jarasandha with his life. The first time Jarasandha got defeated, he said, I'm going to just be a yogi. I'm going to give up this thing. You know, this is too much. And then, but all his demoniac cohorts, and even some of the sages said, you know, Jarasandha, you're a powerful king. Don't get discouraged. One loss, that's all right. You got many armies. Come back. And so he got fired up again. And he came back. But Krishna had this plan. So you have to try to understand, this is why Krishna didn't go back to Vrindavan. Krishna doesn't want to leave, but he had all these demons to get rid of. And there was so many, there were millions and millions of armies that had been burning the earth. But Krishna's heart, even when Krishna was in Dwarka, he would fall asleep at night, and he would chant the names of the gopis out loud, and the queens would think, well, he's with us, but he's always saying Radhe, 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 and Jasoda, Yasoda, Yasoda, his mother, his father, and Radharani. He was always thinking of the gopis and always wanting to, you know, finish his business getting rid of these demons. And this was his mood. So finally, at one point, it was understood that he could now return to Vrindavan, and that is Ratha Yatra. That is Ratha Yatra, bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. The love of Krishna for the gopis is exhibited by Lord Jagannath. Jagannath is in the mood of, he's Krishna himself. Somebody said to Prabhupada one time, Jagannath doesn't look like Krishna. Prabhupada said, oh, not Krishna? He's Krishna. That was Prabhupada. Prabhupada couldn't understand that statement. And so Krishna, you know, he's in that mood of separation. How the forms of Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra are illustrated in a particular leela that happened in Dwarka. But in that leela, you have to understand that these forms are eternal, but they manifest at a certain time, and it appears that they are appearing at that time, but still they are eternal. When all the queens were hearing, you know, Krishna's talking in his sleep about the residents of Vrindavan, they were thinking, what is it about the residents of Vrindavan that is so wonderful? We want to know more. So the principal queens, they approached Rohini. Now, Rohini was Balaram's mother, but she spent time with Krishna when Krishna was a young boy in Vrindavan. So they said to Rohini, can you tell us about Krishna? She said, if I start talking about Vrindavan and Krishna, he's going to go back. If he finds out that I, you know, if he even hears that I'm speaking about it, he's not going to be able to, you know, stay here with you. So, but they said, but we want to hear. Well, let's do something. We can hide from Krishna. They said, and Rohini said, all right, we'll have a secret meeting. And we'll get all the principal queens, and then I'll narrate. I'll speak about what it was like with Krishna when he was in Vrindavan when he was young. But we have to have a guard, because if Krishna finds out, and then, you know, he's gone. So they decided to make Subhadra the guard. Krishna's sister. So she was at the door. And she was just, you know, indicate, well, when Krishna comes, you know, everybody stop talking. And so when Rohini's talking, she's absorbed. She's really absorbed in telling Krishna's pastimes. And the queens are like, you know, they're all ears. And it's like eagerness to hear more about Krishna. And Subhadra's there, and she's at the door guarding. It's like an assembly hall. But what happens is Subhadra starts listening. That was a problem. And she's hearing about the glories of her older brother, and she starts going into ecstasy. And her eyes get big, her arms and legs contract into her body. She faints. Nobody's guarding now. She's out. And then when nobody else knows that Subhadra's not guarding anymore because everyone's absorbed. And then Balaram, he happens to come and he sees the situation. Oh, my mother, she's talking about Vrindavan. He sees Subhadra there. He can't figure out what's wrong with her, but he doesn't care right now. He wants to hear what his mother's saying. So she's talking about him and Krishna and Vrindavan, and he's listening. And he's becoming more and more ecstatic and happy, and he's remembering these sweet pastimes of Vrindavan. He's also feeling separation. And that separation becomes so intense that his arms contract into his body, the legs, he faints. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Balaram, faints. Hare Krishna. Try to figure that one out. And then, you know, Rohini and the queens, they don't know what's going on at the door. They're just absorbed. And then finally Krishna comes. Oh, my mother. Because Krishna, he always saw Rohini as his mother also. He had two mothers. He had Yasoda and Rohini. And they equally acted as his mother. His mother was Yasoda. But Rohini took care of him just like a mother. So he always saw her as his mother also. Like, oh, my mother's talking to you. And it's about me. I want to listen. So he starts listening. And the same thing happens. His arms and his legs go into his body. He faints and that's it. So the forms that you see, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani, are actually manifestations of the ecstasy in the mood of loving separation from Sri Vrindavan. That is the actual form of these deities who manifest themselves in that way. And now, when Krishna comes back, he's not going to stay in Dwarka. Forget it. And so that is Rath Yatra. And you can really hear about that particular pastime in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It's a very beautiful pastime. Bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. And that's the whole Rath Yatra ceremony. In Jagannath Puri, the whole ceremony is enacted where Krishna leaves the Jagannath Puri temple. He goes on his cart on Grand Road. There's three carts, Baladev, Subhadra. Baladev is first, Subhadra is second, and Jagannath is third. Jagannath is following his brother and sister who are leading them into Vrindavan. And then it's 2.3 kilometers, that road, and then it goes. It ends at the Gundicha temple, which is the manifestation of Sri Vrindavan Dham. So that is the Rath Yatra ceremony. So in 2001 and in 2006, I was fortunate enough to be there. And we took part in the ceremony along with 5,000 other devotees from ISKCON. And it's a really powerful ceremony when you see it in Jagannath Puri. There's more than 1 million people there. More than 1 million. And you can't see anything but people. That's all. The buildings are hidden because people are all over the buildings. They're on the roofs, they're on the verandas, they're everywhere. It looks like the buildings are made out of people. It's so crowded. And then, of course, on the ground, it's just filled. But there's a kind of a like around the carts. And what happens is that there is a ceremony of bringing the deities out of the temple. It starts early in the morning, usually around, not so early, about 8 o'clock. And then Baladev comes out, and they carry him out, and it's really festive. There's singing, there's dancing, there's fire twirling, there's drums, there's all kinds of festive, and it's all to entertain the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he gets on his car, because he only comes out once a year for this particular festival. So Baladev comes out first, and then Subhadra comes out. Then Sudarshan Chakra, Krishna's weapon, beautiful weapon. It's a big, it's about this, it's like long. That comes out. They're all carried out, and then finally Jagannath. And that takes about 5 hours for the deities to get out from out of the temple and onto their carts. And then there's another ceremony where all of the dignitaries and the king of Puri comes, and there's worship, there's yogyas, and there's all. So usually about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they actually begin the Rath. So we were there the first year. Now Baladev, he goes first. We were all by Jagannath's cart, so we didn't see what happened, but we heard later. Baladev decided to do his own program. You know, he's God, he can do what he wants. So he's going, and he's leading, but then he decided to go off to the side. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. So Baladev decided, because the carts are huge, and there's about 150 men, pandas, on each of the carts. Baladev's cart weighs 60 tons. Jagannath's cart weighs 40 tons. And Subhadra's cart weighs 35 tons. It takes more than 700 trees to build the carts. And it's a particular type of tree they use to make the wood to build the carts. And they build the carts every year. Whatever, they use the cart only once. And after that year, they take the carts and then they cut it up, and that's the firewood they use for cooking for Jagannath for that next year. And then they find 700 more trees. A particular type of tree. It can't be any other tree. Actually, one year they ran out, they couldn't find enough. So then there was a program to grow these trees. So we were, you know, in front of Jagannath's cart, and we were having kirtan. But we later learned that Baladev, and you know, the carts are huge. And they have these huge ropes, and devotees are pulling the cart. And the police are conducting it. And they're telling the devotees to pull this way or that way. And, you know, there's not an inch of rope. You can't see any rope. All you can see is people. Because everybody wants to get onto that rope. It's just like, we couldn't get on. None of the devotees could have get on. We were just like, it wouldn't have been possible. And so Baladev, he decides, well, maybe, I think I'll take a different route. So what he did was he went, instead of going straight down the middle of the road, he goes off to the side. And he's drifting to the side. You know, there's no brakes on the carts, and there's no steering. It looks like they have a thing of steering there, but it's just to make it look good. It's just for show, because you know. So the steering is the pulling. You have to pull one way or the other, so they all have to work in that way. So Baladev keeps going over to the side, and he goes right up against an electrical pole, huge electrical pole. Cart stops. And you can't push it back. And you can't tell the people to get off the cart, because they won't. So there's 150 plus people on each cart. So what they did was, they called them municipal people in Puri. And with their picks and shovels, they dug the pole out of the ground. And somebody climbed the pole first and unhooked the wires. And then the cart was free. And then they pulled it back to the center. And then Baladev decided, all right, I'll behave. But he didn't. As he goes down the road, he's going down again. And on the side, they have all these like little shops, and they just come up for the Ratha Yatra. All these, there's like people want to sell their different, you know, goods and wares and whatever. So they get tin, they get boards, and they cardboard, and they make a shop. And so Baladev decided to go up against somebody's shop this time. He went off to the side again, right against the shop. So you obviously take the shop down. So that's what they did. And the man who owned the shop, it was his shop, he was so happy. I get to offer my shop to Balaram. Wow. He was really in the ecstasy. You know, this is like something once in a many lifetimes you get that opportunity to serve the Lord, like personally. And so we heard about all this later. And then, and the carts don't keep rolling past sunset. When the sun goes down, as soon as the sun is below the horizon, wherever the carts are, they stop. And then they continue the Rath the next day. So that year, most years, the carts go and they make it for the first day, but that year they didn't. And so then everyone stays near the carts, and there's pujas, there's homas, and devotees go up and worship the Lord throughout the whole night. Nobody, you know, people are out there all night just getting darshan, getting, they're offering garlands, they're doing all kinds of things because the deities are there, and you just can't leave the deities. And everyone's just, so then the next day you continue the Ratha Yatra. And then that night, after we finish the next day, the carts line up in a row in front of the Gaudiya temple. And at 5 o'clock that night, they start another ceremony of bringing the deities off the carts and into the temple. It's really, really beautiful. And that takes about 3 or 4 hours. And then they carry, I forgot one really interesting little pastime. When Jagannath was getting onto the cart, now Jagannath's big. Who is he big? He's 1 meter this way, and I think he's about, I'm not sure, 2 meters maybe? Really big. He's bigger than us, and he's heavy. So it takes about 20 to 25 of these pandas, and that's their service. They carry the deity, but they have ropes, and they tie him up in ropes, and they carry him up to the cart, and then they have to use the ropes to get him onto the cart. And there's big planks, because the base of the cart is high. It's about 3 meters high or more. And so they have to get him up on the cart. So we got the chance to stand right next to the carts. We had some connections. And I'm watching. And Jagannath, you know, Jagannath is, they're trying to get him on the cart, but he's not going. They're pulling and straining and struggling. Now all this is being televised around the world. And there's different medias that are speaking in their different languages. So we could hear what they were saying in Orion, because that's the local language. And they were directing the whole thing and narrating what's going on. So now the narrator, he's watching. And then he decides to get into the whole program. Because Jagannath's not going. And they're struggling. He's not moving. So the narrator, he said, Jagannath! Jagannath! The devotees are waiting. Get on your cart. Stop sleeping. Get up. Because Jagannath went flat. He went, you know, he just turned flat and he's laying like face up. Because when he tried to carry him, he decided, I'm going to go to sleep. So he went. And so as soon as that narrator did that, and he did it for a while, and it was like, choo, mm-hmm. I thought, what's that? I was with Radhanas when we were both watching. We were sitting on top of somebody's shoulders, you know, because we, And then we had a, you know, like a special, you know, balcony seat. And both of us were thinking, what happened? Jagannath just went, Rrr. And then later on, we found out, and we said to the pundits, you know, how did you do that? We don't do anything. All we do is try to guide him up there. And if he wants to go, he goes. If he doesn't want to go, he doesn't go. So I guess Jagannath decided, all right, I'll get on my cart. So, and when you take him off the cart, it's another whole big ceremony. They tie a beautiful headdress, which is huge. It's like spans the, and maybe you've seen the picture. And then they carry him off. But when they're carrying him off, he shakes. He's shaking like this. You see that? Yeah. And we asked the pandas, because Radhanath Swami knew some of the pandas personally, so we had some friends. I almost remember their name. And they were telling us that, what was it? Well, we try to hold him still, but he doesn't want to stay still. And his shaking is an, this is part of the Leela, that Krishna is anticipating himself going back to Vrindavan, and he's exhibiting ecstasy. That's the shaking. He's in the ecstasy of happiness, anticipating, I will be with the residents of Vrindavan, and he's exhibiting this loving ecstasy by, like that. And so they're trying to carry him, and it's just really amazing when you watch it. We happened to have some contacts in Jagannath Puri, so we were able to get onto somebody's house way up, and we watched it from the top. Of course, when we were sitting on a wall, and it was all mosquitoes below us, and our feet were being bitten by mosquitoes while we were watching this. So it was kind of like a chutney. It was like, it was sweet, but at the same time, it was a little stingy. But we didn't care. We just, while we were watching. So it was so beautiful to watch that. And then Baladev goes on, but Subhadra, when they carry her off, she doesn't do that. Because it says the ladies are not supposed to do that in public. So that's the Leela. And then Baladev, the same way. So first Baladev goes on, and then the deities stay there for 1 week. And during that 1 week, there's so many festivals and ceremonies. And if you're, you know, if you're pale looking like me, you can't go in. It's only for those who have that nice tan. So we couldn't go in, but they have these different ceremonies that go on for the whole. And then there's the return Rath Yatra. And that time, that there's 8 days from the time Jagannath goes, and then he stays for a week and he comes back. Anyone who leaves their body at that time goes back to Vaikuntha. That's the... And we also know, just to give a side note, that's when Janakinath Prabhu left his body during those 8 days. And it says, it's in the Shastras, that anyone leaves at that time, they go back to the spiritual world. It's a special, special mercy of Lord Jagannath. And so this was one of our experiences to get a little in-depth understanding of how this beautiful ceremony got. And Prabhupada wanted this ceremony to go on around the world. So the mood of this particular ceremony is that devotees are chanting and dancing in front of the cart. What is the mood? Come on, Lord. We want you to come back to Vrindavan. That's the mood. So pulling the ropes is actually pulling the Lord into the heart. And the chanting and dancing is the enthusiasm of wanting Krishna to come back to Vrindavan. That is the actual mood. And the Hare Krishna mantra is the means by which we express that enthusiasm. So this is a very beautiful ceremony. So when you're out there today, try to remember these and be very enthusiastic for chanting and dancing, because that attracts the Lord. And when he sees that, just like when we were there, this was the first time we had come, the ISKCON devotees, 2001, there was 5,000 of us that time. The organizers of the festival said that we think Lord Chaitanya and his associates have returned. When they saw us chanting and dancing in front of Jagannath's cart, they really were appreciating that, and they were giving us so much credit for coming. And the reason why Jagannath didn't make it the first day is because he kept stopping and watching the kirtan, because that's what happens. He watches the kirtan sometimes and he just gets stunned in ecstasy and he doesn't move. So, and there was many other beautiful stories that illustrated. I wrote this up in an article, what my experience was. It was like something that it was like being in the spiritual world. It was just amazing. If you get a chance, and you can go to actually Jagannath Puri sometime before you depart this material world, it's an experience you'll never forget. It's just so deep in bhakti. And Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada was criticized also for doing this, because people were saying Jagannath Rath Yatra should only be done in Jagannath Puri. But Prabhupada accepted the criticism, and he said that Jagannath is Jagannath. He is the Lord of all. He's the Lord of the universe. He's not the Lord of the Hindus. When Prabhupada was in Jagannath Puri with his devotees in 1977, I believe, and once again before then, many of the dignitaries, the heads of the temple, came to greet Prabhupada. They were really happy. And they wanted Prabhupada to come in and take darshan of Lord Jagannath. Prabhupada said, unless you allow my disciples in, I'm not going. And Prabhupada spoke strongly. He said, he is not Hindu-nath, he's Jagannath. And Prabhupada was really, he wanted his devotees to be able to come, because he said, these are devotees of Jagannath. But the tradition is there. And we don't really flaunt the tradition. Prabhupada asked permission, of course, but he made his point. And Prabhupada didn't go in. He didn't go in just to make a, to show that, you know, we should. So that, maybe someday that'll change. Maybe someday, we don't know. That tradition is still there. So chant, dance, and be enthusiastic, because this festival is so sweet and so deep in bhakti. You're bringing the Lord back to Vrindavan. You're assisting. You're actually in the mood of Manjari Bhav. The Manjaris assist the gopis in their service to Krishna. So we are assisting the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan by making them happy, by helping them in their desire to have Krishna return to Vrindavan. That is Jagannath Rath Yatra. It's a really beautiful ceremony. Okay, so I think my time is up. Yeah, would you like to say something? Yeah. Yeah, I think they're going to get you a microphone.
Hi, Maharaj. Thank you for your class. It was really nice. Is it working?
Need some volume.
Sorry, I couldn't hear Maharaj. Anyone goes back at the time? If you can.
There's 8 days from the time that Jagannath Rath Yatra begins till the time that the Lord returns to his temple in Puri. In other words, he goes to Gundicha for a week and comes back. So those 8 days, it's mentioned in the Shastras that anyone who leaves during those 8 days, leaves the world, is guaranteed to go back to Vaikuntha. Now, You might want to qualify. Does that mean just devotees, or is that people in general? I don't know. I got this information from a very highly elevated scholastic devotee in the UK. His name is Kartik Chandra. He's the one that told me this, so I have complete faith that it's true. Because he's a walking Shastra. So, yeah, that's as much as I know. And that was brought out during the time when we were, you know, performing the last rites for Janakinath Prabhu. Just to let that, he left at that time, that same period.
Man, maybe other people that are not practicing, they get like a spiritual boon, or they go back gradually after. Or
it's a very auspicious time.
Auspicious.
It's very auspicious time, because the Lord doesn't perform this activity, you know, often. It's only once a year, and He simply does it for the pleasure of His devotees, and for His own transcendental happiness too.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You are. Okay. Everybody, okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class. You were speaking at the end that this is in the Manjari Bhav, or very...
It's the mood, yeah. The mood of assisting the residents of Vrindavan, that's Manjari Bhav.
So I was wondering, Maharaj, for us maybe that's quite difficult to meditate on. Is there any other tips you have for us to practically try and
just
apply
chat,
this meditation?
Be enthusiastic to chant and dance. That's it. Don't be out there thinking, you know, I can't wait till we get to the site so I can have some prasadam. That's not the idea. Keep the mood of, you know, Jagannath's there, and he's depending on his devotees to bring him there. That's why the whole idea of ropes and the... Because the devotees are the his escort to get back to Vrindavan. Jagannath's in the mood. He's in the mood of anticipating his return to Vrindavan. So he can't think straight. Because he's in ecstasy. So he needs your help to get him there. So that's the mood of Vrindavan. And that's the mood of Jagannath Ratha Yatra. So what do? Chant and dance, and we pull the ropes too. And so it's three things going on. Chanting, dancing, and pulling. It's all part of that mood of... So be enthusiastic for those things. And it's simple. There's not much more you can do than that. And just chant, dance. And you can also pray to Jagannath. Jagannath, please come back. But the idea is that the inner mode is the heart is Gupta. It's a hidden place. And Vrindavan is also known as Gupta Vrindavan, or hidden. So we're bringing, the idea is that you, when you're pulling the ropes, you're trying to bring the Lord into the heart. Now He's already there, but only can we realize that through the process of bhakti. So that's the mood. Yes, we have Prayojana. He wanted to say something.
Thank you for explaining actually the mood that we should how we should approach this festival. That was very helpful.
That's the key to the whole festival. Yeah. The mood.
And thank you for that. And there's one thing that. I remember apparently Bhakti Tirtha Swami was allowed into the temple, one of the few Swamis.
Bhakti Tirtha Swami?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't allowed, but he got in.
He got in. Yeah, he was assisted by, apparently.
If you can read the story.
Yeah.
It's.
But do you know anything more about that? Do you know anything about that?
It happened around right after he took sannyas. He took sannyas around 1978, 79, so right after that. And, you know, he's who he is. He looks like he could pass. He went in, and he was there, and nobody noticed him. But I think somebody tried to talk to him in Hindi, and that didn't work, so... It's a whole story. I don't want to speak the whole story because it's a little wild.
Thank you.
But don't try it. Yes, there's, we got Nischintya, right? Nischintya, okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a wonderful class. Could you elaborate a bit more on Lord Jagannath's mood? Because in Vrindavan, we're meant to be very, you know, particular in the way we approach Krishna and, you know, conduct our bhajan and worship. Whereas we hear of many cases where in Jagannath, the rules seem to go out the window. Like, you know, there's the Acharya who was criticizing the pujaris were not on time, and then next thing he went to sleep and then found himself back in South India where he's originally
from. Ramanujacharya, yeah.
Right, yeah, Ramanujacharya. And then Mahaprabhu even says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that if you see the Jagannath Purivasis, you know, like eating, you know, fish or whatever, it's not for us to, you know, pass judgment. So it seems like the rules seem to go out the window there. I mean, is there some reasoning behind it?
Yeah, because it
seems like a strange mood. You know?
I mean, the Skanda Purana gives a lot of description of Jagannath Puri, and it says that anyone born in Jagannath Puri has four arms. And if you take rest in Jagannath Puri, it's equal to, I forgot, it's considered to be samadhi. Yeah, there is. So Jagannath Puri is not part of this material world. So these people are born in that. We have one devotee in our movement who was also born in that, in Jagannath Puri. Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj, he was born there. So yeah, these are very special persons, take birth in that place. So you can't, you know, use the rules and regulations, you know.
Is that deliberately? Did like Lord Jagannath deliberately, you know?
These are his personal devotees. Their behavior. We shouldn't try to, you know, copy their behavior. You know, we'll fall down. But we also shouldn't criticize. Or think that they're, you know, less than who they are. There's a saying. Tejo sad rajo sire, something like that. Whatever great people do, even though it may seem to break the rules and regulations, don't try to imitate. Mm-hmm. You know, Lord Shiva drank an ocean of poison. He smokes ganja, and people want to imitate that. At least the smoking of the ganja. You know, Prabhupada, one time when Prabhupada was in, I think it was in Calcutta, he was invited to one person's house, and he brought many of his disciples with him. And this was a very important man. Prabhupada was there. And they were serving prasad. So they were, devotees were eating it, and the pakoras were onion. It was onion pakoras. So they said, oh my God, we're eating onions. So they told Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, keep quiet, don't say anything. He didn't want to offend the host. So we couldn't do that, but Prabhupada, he made that statement, so we just followed Prabhupada. So somebody like, who's, you know, a very exalted personality may not follow things exactly. But that's time, place, and circumstance. Generally, they do, to teach. But if we see that, we shouldn't think. Like there's one story, I don't know, I never heard of it. I heard Prabhupada speak it. He said that Lord Ramachandra one time ate meat. And so there are people who claim to be devotees of Ramachandra, and they say, well, he ate meat, therefore we can do it also. But then Prabhupada said he's the Supreme Personality of God, and he can eat the whole universe. So, you know. Krishna danced with so many girls, you know. You know, why not? Whatever God does. And then they quote that verse from the Bhagavad Gita. What is that? Who knows the verse? It's 221, Bhagavad Gita. Whatever great men do, common men follow. Yeah, yad yad darsan sista tattar evi jana tadyat kurute lokas tananu vartante. Whatever great souls do, common men follow. So in order not to destroy people's lives, the great souls follow. But sometimes, due to time, place, and circumstance, they may not. But we should see that that is not something we should follow. That's the point. Anything else? Any other questions? Yes.
Thank you for the glass, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the kirtan.
I heard Lord Jagannath gets sick, and I just didn't know about that pastime.
Anubhatsara? Yeah. You want to hear a pastime?
Is it connected to the Rath Yatra?
It's exactly connected to it. It's Snan Yatra. Snan Yatra precedes Rath Yatra 2 weeks before them, where the Lord gets bathed in public and he gets a cold, actually gets a fever. And then for 2 weeks he's kept inside, and there's only a very, very few people see him during that time, and they administer all kinds of medicines. They give him herbal medicines and teas and everything like that. And then after 2 weeks he gets well again and he comes out. So we always chastise the devotees, you know, every time you bathe him he gets sick. So, you know, you guys are really, you know, sloppy. So we had one doctor with us. This was in 2001 we were there. And he was a devotee of Sitaram. In fact, that was his name, Sitaram Das. And he was a very respectable and very aristocratic person, but a devotee. So he came with us first time to Jagannath Puri. So he decided to go for the special darshan that they have at midnight during the Anuvatsara. So they allow people to come for a special darshan that time. So he went. And he's there, and he's talking to the pandas. And then they find out he's a doctor. So they said to him, well, Jagannath, he's sick, he's got a fever. You're a doctor, go over there and check. That's what they told him. So he was thinking, what is this, you know, check. They said, go, you know, go over there. So he goes over and he puts his hand on Jagannath's arm. And the pandas said, no, put your hand on his chest. So he did, and he had to remove it really fast. He told us, he told me, I was there when he told me. He said it was like, you know, it was so hot. Jagannath had a fever. Really. And then he said, I thought Sitaram were merciful, but now I understand Jagannath's more merciful. Jagannath actually had a detectable fever. True story. That's bhakti. So yeah, that's what happens for 2 weeks. He's sick, but he gets well, you know, slowly.
And they bathe him every year. Snan Yatra is celebrated for what reason?
Yeah, for that reason. He goes in high. It creates the mood of separation. That's the whole idea of that. And that no one can see him for for, at least only for a few people who are allowed to. And then they give a special darshan at midnight, but hardly anybody comes. You know. So yeah, it's the whole mood of separation. And he's sick and now no one can see him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sweet. Those of you who think he's made out of wood, he's not. He's Krishna. But he appears in that form just for his leelas and for our pleasure. He has to appear into some kind of material form in order for us to serve him and to worship him. But he's not that. He's the Lord. Okay, so I don't want to take up too much time. So thank you very much. Have a wonderful Rath Yatra. Chant, dance, and pull the ropes. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.